You're here on another 88.5 Live in-studio performance, where it's our interview and performance series. My name is Byron Gonzalez. I'm the host of Bilingual Sounds, which you can catch here on 88.5 FM every Wednesday from 9 to 10. And an artist who I play a lot, it seems to be like the reoccurring theme that if I'm here, it's an artist that I really enjoy and really respect a lot. And today we have in-studio Ray Zaragoza. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Byron. I'm good. How are you?
Very good and excited to meet you in real life.
I know.
We've talked through Instagram and texting.
It's so crazy. There's not like a screen around your head right now. Like this is actually real.
Yeah, this is
so
real.
Bizarre.
There's no little hearts popping out.
No hearts popping up. You know, your name is not in the corner.
Yeah, we're face to face.
Yeah.
But we're still keeping the distance. So
yes.
It's pretty cool. Very happy that you're here finally. Yeah. We've even had another interview on Zoom with our program director, Mookie. But now here's the official thing. And you got your guitar. So we're going to be hearing some music. But first, I want to ask, how are you personally and how do you feel about your project in its current state?
Yeah, you know, I'm great. And it's, I think the past 2 years since I released, well, it hasn't been 2 years yet, but it's been like a year and a half since I released Woman in Color, my last album, has been amazing, but also so strange with the pandemic and then releasing an album in 2020. We had pushed it back from when we were originally going to because of the pandemic and then not being able to tour on it. So actually, like now, over the past maybe 6 months, I've really been playing the songs live and I've been like touring on the album. And but it's so odd to do that so far after an album has come out. And so now it's been cool because the past year and a half or so, I've been writing so much, none of it's released because I've still been like promoting this album that came out a year and a half ago. And so, yeah, so I'm kind of in like this really cool spot with my music where I'm really proud of what I made, but I'm also like so excited about all the stuff to come. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I probably have like 2 or 3 albums worth of music I've written over the past year and a half. That's
just
not
that's great.
Out.
That's
so I'm like,
great though.
What do we do with it? And so it's really exciting.
That's super cool. You know, pop one in every few times during a live show. Give people a little sneak preview of what's coming up, right?
Yeah, sometimes I have a lot of songs I haven't even played live yet. You know, but I want to. So we'll definitely have more of those coming up. But yeah, but it's also cool to play the songs that I wrote for Woman in Color, my album that came out in October of 2020 that, you know, also felt like we were sitting on for so long because we couldn't tour or play live.
And
so,
it's such a beautiful album, too.
Oh, thank you.
When you play them live, I'm sure you bring tears to people's eyes just because the lyrics are so nice. I remember me and my partner saw you at the Hotel Cafe.
Yes.
And that song that you wrote about your grandma coming on to a new country, changing their name.
Oh, my mom, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, your mom, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Change Your Name is a song I wrote about my mother's immigration story. And actually next month for AAPI Heritage Month, I wrote an article about my mom's story. And
oh, nice.
We have a new music video coming out for that song. And so I'm excited about that.
You're always staying busy.
Yeah.
That's so cool, too.
Yeah.
You have a lot of music videos for your album, even though you haven't been able to like, tour with it.
Yeah.
And you did a lot of Instagram Live performances as well as I think you had like a Patreon going on for a bit.
Yes,
right?
I still have my Patreon.
You still have a Patreon.
Yeah, I try to stay busy. I think like, you know, creative energy is what like drives me, what fuels me. And so I try to make even like a simple music video for every song and just like always have a visual with the audio and always engage because I think that what I got so much from touring was like the interaction with people and always like kind of like having that symbiotic energy with your audience and your music and like you're just constantly making music for the people and then feeding off of them and then making more music for them. It just feels like this like amazing exchange of energy that I didn't get for a while, you know, with lockdown. So I've been getting that from like doing lives and just constantly putting content out and just like, I don't know, not taking it too seriously and just having fun with it and just constantly putting stuff out and having fun and not getting too precious about it being like super, super high quality or super expensive or like, you know, super, you know, I just like sometimes I make a video with like me and my partner, me and my brother, like, we'll just like throw a music video together in a couple of days and put it out, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just supposed to be fun.
It's, you're an artist and that's what you love to do. You know, you love to create, whether it's music or just visual art as well.
Exactly.
That's super cool. Let's get into our first break of the interview.
Yeah.
What's the first song you're going to play for us right now? I'm super excited.
Yeah. So I was thinking about playing this song. It's called The It Girl. And it's a song that 88.5 has played quite a bit, which is so cool.
It's a favorite. It's a favorite.
I've gotten to, you know, be driving and hear my song pop up on the radio, which is like such a surreal experience. So I thought I'd play this song. So this is The It Girl.
Take it away.
I could tell I was living in a world that wasn't made for brown-skinned girls. Just you wait, it'll be your turn. And in the mirror I would say to her, I could be the it girl, can't you see? I could be the face on the magazine. Paint me like a debutante, your prom queen. Pretty little it girl, yeah, that's me. Do you ever feel like everywhere you go, you're just an act in the sideshow? Just a friend, a second thought. It's time you give them everything you got. I could be the it girl, can't you see? I could be the face on the magazine. Paint me like a debutante, your prom queen. Pretty little it girl, yeah, that's me. You're better off just being yourself. Why don't you look into the mirror and say, I wouldn't want you any other way. But I could be the it girl, can't you see? I could be the face on the magazine. Paint me like a debutante, your prom queen. Pretty little it girl, yeah, that's me. I could be the it girl, can't you see? I could be the face on the magazine. Paint me like a debutante, your prom queen. Pretty little it girl, yeah, that's me. Pretty little it girl, yeah, that's me. Pretty little it girl, yeah, that's me. But I don't give a shit, girl, yeah, that's me.
So, so powerful. I love those lyrics. I love your lyrics in general.
Thank you.
They're also thought-provoking.
Thanks. I think lyrics are definitely my passion. I don't know. I'm such a lyric nerd. Whenever I see bands play, I study their lyrics before I go. And I like to know every lyric to like every concert I see.
That's
especially
so cool.
My favorite bands. I'm just like, I'll print out lyrics and read them like a book. It's my favorite thing.
I think with so much music coming out these days, it's kind of hard to do that nowadays.
Yeah.
Personally, because I work in radio and I got so much incoming music. But
totally.
When I hear your music, you're like, I need to learn this because it's, if I want to see it live, I want to sing along to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that nowadays with streaming and everything, you know, I'm constantly finding out about new music, new bands, like, I'm just like always like popping from like song to song to song to song, and which is great and it's amazing. And like, I think I follow more bands now than ever. But I think when I was younger, you know, I had like a Walkman and I had my CDs and I probably had like three or four albums that I knew backwards and forwards. Like that was my music.
Yeah. Cause you just choose one CD for your day.
For the day, you know, like you really, you don't gotta like carry other CDs with you.
Yeah. Do you remember one of those? What was like
oh
one
my
of the,
gosh,
your
yes.
essential albums that you chose for like multiple days?
It was Avril Lavigne's album. It was Let Go. Let Go was the name of the album. I think Losing Grip. I always get it mixed up if it's Losing Grip or Let Go, but I think it's Let Go. And the first song is Losing Grip. But yeah, that album, like I know all the lyrics to every song to this day.
To this day.
Like me and my best friend, we will like to this day, like walk down the street, the singing streets of New York, like singing those songs, like not even along to it, but like just we will know all the lyrics, the entire melody, everything without even needing to listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. So then you took a lot of song inspiration from Avril Lavigne in the first.
Definitely. I mean, I think that like I loved her so much because she was such a rebel and she was all about girl power. And but also like wasn't, you know, she was like she had her cool style. Like she was wearing like skirts over jeans and like a tie over a tank top and just.
Back then it was very like,
yeah, back then it was like very cutting edge. Now it's like, I don't know about your style choices, but yeah, I loved her. I also like went through a phase of like really liking Ashley Simpson. Like I loved her album. I can't remember the name of the album. And Jewel.
Nice.
And then once I got into middle school, my taste kind of expanded and I started getting into Led Zeppelin and Queen and Crosby, Stills and Nash and a lot of like classic rock.
Is that Beatles. When you started, you know, wanting to play guitar?
Yeah, yeah. So I started playing guitar when I was 12. And the first song I learned on the guitar was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, I don't even know how I played it. I probably just like played like two of the chords. It was just crazy. But I had a guitar teacher my parents set me up with and... he was like, "What do you want to learn how to play?" And I was like, "Bohemian Rhapsody." And he looked at me like, "Okay, okay. Here we go."
You're gonna
you know?
Challenge yourself on this.
Yeah, it was really sweet. He didn't like suggest something else. He just went for it. yeah.
Do you remember, you know, seeing listening to your lyrics now? I'm sure for me it would take a lot of practice, but do you remember like one of the first songs you ever wrote and what it was about?
Yeah, the first song I ever wrote actually was a song I wrote with my brother. And it was this song called Why'd You Leave? And my brother and I just like came together and like wrote this love song. And it was just like so silly. And it was just like, why'd you leave? Why'd you leave? Without ever saying bye. Why'd you leave? Why'd you leave? All I ever do is cry. Uh-huh. I feel like a lot of folks' first songs are like just really sad.
Probably because you know? You're trying to really
you don't really like find angst. The like the nuance and like the in between yet, so it's just like really sad, like really happy. But yeah, so we wrote that, and I remember my dad he sent it to like a bunch of people that he knew in the music industry.
That's funny.
And like he got a couple responses being like, oh, like her voice sounds good, but these lyrics are not good. Like these lyrics are terrible. And I remember like taking no offense to it because I was like, this is my first song. Okay. If my first song was good, that would be crazy. But yeah, Why'd You Leave?
That's very humble.
And then the second song I ever wrote was Chase the Child, which is actually a song on my first album that I still play to this day on stage sometimes.
Nice.
I think the form of the song is all over the place and it makes me mad because it was like my second song I ever wrote. But that kind of, you know, started me on this path of wanting to be a songwriter because I got a lot of people telling me that was a really good song. And nice. People still tell me that, like, it's interesting to like have a song I wrote so early that people still request at my shows and they like it. And so that was cool. I think that a lot of songwriters, you have that like an early song where people start paying attention. They're like, oh, wait, maybe you have a talent for this. And then it motivates you to keep going.
Did that motivate you to also kind of write lyrics that could stir the pot in a sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, that song, you know, that song was like a story song, like a father-daughter song. And it was definitely very much inspired by Harry Chapin. I grew up listening to Cats in the Cradle like every day. And I knew that I wanted to write music that was really, you know, that moved people. That song was really moving. And I think that definitely started me on this path of like wanting to write music that was more than just like something that's to entertain people. I wanted to make people think. Nice.
Well, your new album, Women in Color, does make people think. It makes me think a lot.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I do want to talk more about it, but let's take our second break of the interview. What is this next song you have for us?
So this song is also from Woman in Color. It's called Run with the Wolves.
Love this song.
And this song is fun. The song is about returning back to your instincts and your intuition. And I think I wrote the song. It was very much inspired by this book called Women Who Run with the Wolves. And I read this book around the time when I feel like I really needed it. The book is a lot about kind of, you know, kind of like unraveling a lot of the societal expectations of women and like finding your like wild side and like really understanding who you are outside of like the expectations of being a woman. And I think I really needed that. I still need it all the time, but it was something that was very healing for me at that moment. And I was like, I want to run with the wolves. I want to be myself. I don't want to be a product of societal expectations. And yeah.
That's beautiful. See, that's what I mean. I love how deep the lyrics get. So
it's so deep.
When you're ready, take it away, Ray.
Thank you. This is Run With The Wolves. Feel the earth beneath my feet, it pulls me down. I heard the sounds echo softly in the breeze, in the clouds. I hear them now. We used to be so free, get back to who we used to. The mountains, feel the air rush through your skin. It's the way it always should have been. We're running, 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 running with the wolves again. We're running, 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 running with the wolves again. There was a time when we were wild, moving fast, you couldn't hold us back. Then they came and stole our fire, put us in a cage we could never change. We used to be so free, get back to who we used to be. Leave the ground, look to the mountains, feel the air rush through your skin. It's the way it always should have been. We're running, 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 running with the wolves again. We're running, 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 running with the wolves again.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I really got to praise you on that song, but also the album in totality.
Such
a good album. There's so many good lyrics in there. You pay tribute to women of color and mm-hmm. women in color. You even brought attention to like your song Red about femicide.
Yeah. Red is about, you know, missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I think that, you know, there are some times when I feel like called to write a song and then I'm like, you know, like what's the reason of music? Like, am I trying to entertain people? Am I trying to make them think? But I also don't want to like traumatize or trigger people. And then I was thinking about when I wrote that song, whether or not to put it on the album, because I was like, this is like a really heavy topic.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the like kind of the line of like, you like, you know, writing about something and what's the purpose and like, you know, and I really had to go deep on that really kind of thinking about what's the point of writing music and in which ways are we drawing attention and spreading awareness, and which ways are we glorifying, like where, you know, where is the line and what is the purpose? And it really sent me on this really deep kind of you know, contemplation of like why I am here as an artist and, you know, what I am setting out to do. And I realized that I wanted to put the song on the album for this very purpose of being, you know, using my platform and being in interview settings and on radio stations and things to yeah. talk about missing and murdered Indigenous women, because so many people don't know that, you know, Indigenous women have like have the highest rate of murder than any other, you know, group in the United States. And it's a really, yeah, it's a horrible thing. And so for everyone to kind of like check out like Seeding Sovereignty and Rising Hearts and like all the things that they're doing to draw awareness to this. And hopefully, you know, we'll get some better, you know, laws passed that can protect Indigenous
yeah.
women.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's Red. And it's one of those songs where it's heavy and I it's really like a tribute and a dedication and a prayer to all the missing and murdered sisters.
I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens all over the world, in Mexico yeah. and
exactly.
Guatemala, Southern, everywhere. Japan.
Exactly. I know it's really a global problem, and we need to protect our women no matter, you know, no matter who, you know, it's not only about Indigenous women. It's like, we need to create more of an environment that protects women. And yeah. it's not something that's like pushed under the rug or something that's not talked about because it's difficult to hear. And so, you know, that's kind of what this album, I just really wanted to draw attention to all the different kinds of feminine energies in my life, like both good and difficult,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And then you brought, like I was saying, I was going down the line, really.
Yeah.
So Red, and then there's Change Your Name, which yeah. really talks about the immigrant experience.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Asian Americans had to change their name. I don't know that much, but you see it in TV. Now they're bringing attention to it where
yeah.
the character's name is a normal name,
yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
And then later down in the show or the movie, you find out that they changed their name. So
yeah.
it's shown a yeah. lot in media as well.
I think it was a scene I think it was in Fresh Off the Boat.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. So I can't remember the name of her character, but she, the mother character, so long since I've watched this show, but she's like at her college and she never gets called on
mm-hmm.
because they can't pronounce her name. Right. Is this the scene?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so she changes her name. And so I think it's really sad and it's difficult that so often immigrants have to change their names just so that they can participate and have the same fighting chance as everyone else. And, you know, just like the assimilation of like Americans into the greater culture, a lot of it, you have to end up leaving behind some of the things that
yeah.
make you, you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, yeah, I mean, I think storytelling is kind of the way to bring that, shine a light on that. And like, you know, I think my mom for sure, like her Japanese name is Shuga, and her name that she goes by now is Shirley. And I think for, yeah, so for her, like both names are a part of who she is. Like she loves being Shirley and she loves being Shuga. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's kind of what my essay is about. It's kind of honoring all of it, both yeah. sides, and knowing that, you know, it's a reclamation, but also like a celebration, you know?
Yeah,
of
yeah.
who we are and how we've had to change, but, you know, it's all, the whole journey is a part of our story.
Yeah.
You know?
And also I wanted to bring to light the They Say song as well.
Yeah.
I'm not too much in the folk country scene, but
yeah.
so I'm not sure how much of people of color are represented in
yeah,
the scene.
I know.
And you like bring it to light. And
yeah.
I think women in color kind of encompasses that because you've made a folk album for people of color.
Yeah,
which is really beautiful.
That's cool. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I mean, I think there are many people of color in folk music, but they're not enough. And there's been more and more, you know, over the past few years. And I think the thing is, it's not that like there aren't any in folk music. It's just that they're not getting the same opportunities. And there's been a lot of gatekeepers that I think have all changed. And this has been really good in the past couple of years. But like a couple years ago, 5 years ago, like there were so many gatekeepers who like would take like a person of color's music and be like, well, this isn't folk.
Oh, yeah.
This is an Americana. Mm-hmm. These have varying, like, very rigid definitions of what folk music is or what Americana is. And excluding people of color without really noticing that they're doing that. But absolutely, like, by defining these genres with such, like, strict parameters, it absolutely makes it so that people of color are excluded. And so, you know, I do, like places like Folk Alliance International are really like expanding what it means to be folk music. And I think that's really important because there's so many artists like me who make folk music. And because of the subject content, it's been like labeled as like not folk music.
Yeah, or kind of like rebel music.
Yeah, social justice music or activist music. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. But it's also, I'm just telling my stories.
Yeah, just like any other yeah, folk like, I feel artist. Like sometimes, that's the essence of it, right?
Yeah, like sometimes if like a non, you know, BIPOC artists would tell their stories, then it's like mainstream folk Americana. But if like someone like me telling my stories, it's like different. And it's activists, it's like social justice, which I get, like I like being a social justice artist, but sometimes I just want to be like, I'm an artist too. And I want to be in the big heap of quote unquote mainstream with everyone else and not always be so qualified by my race or by like the subject content. So yeah, it's really interesting,
you know, really is. And
like telling the stories of people of color is like inherently like political because it's so controversial just to be yourself.
Yeah,
in a lot of settings,
being
you know?
A person of color is political.
Yeah,
which is how crazy
yeah.
it is. You know?
And so then, like, just by being honest, your music's now political. It's now politicized. It's now controversial. It's now very cutting edge and all that, which I love. Like, I love all of that. Like, I want to be the rebel in every room I'm in. But it's just an interesting thing to kind of dissect and being like, well, what is mainstream?
Yeah.
And I think that for me, like the little wins of like having a song that has, you know, like I had a song called Driving to Standing Rock. I wrote about like, you know, the Standing Rock movement and fighting against the Dakota Access Pipeline. And Starbucks added it to like their official playlist.
Oh, interesting.
And like, you know, like Starbucks,
it's such a
I don't
weird
love Starbucks,
line
but yeah.
of corporate and then activism.
Exactly. But it was cool. What I felt like was a win for that was like a mainstream corporation, like taking a song that is actually about fighting for indigenous rights and putting it on their playlist and like that becoming mainstream, like songs about indigenous rights becoming mainstream, blah, blah, blah. so yeah, I liked that, you know, and then like, you know, I've had a lot of talks with like different streaming services and being like, okay, yeah, it's great to put, people of color, indigenous people, artists on these like playlists that you do once a year for Indigenous Peoples Day or for Native Heritage Month or yeah, like, and then take them off as soon as that month's over.
Yeah.
But like, I think the real work is like, no, like why can't I be on like the contemporary folk playlist, which I am now, thank you. But
yeah, you made some strides.
It took me a lot of time to like really talk to a lot of these streaming services and like challenge them and be like, the work is not just to like you know, push us to the side and give us a little circle to like exist in and you know, put us in the spotlight for that one day you feel required to. It needs to be like a constant thing and to like really, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of artists that do belong on those playlists and do belong like to have the spotlight on them, not just because of who they are, but because of what they make. Like they make amazing music like everyone else. And, you know, I think a lot of folk artists of color are not on major labels. They don't have the same kind of crazy backing that like a lot of artists that fit more in the quote unquote mainstream look and sound. So I think that, yeah, like we need to be fighting for each other and constantly lifting each other up. And like, cause there, it's not going to be overnight that a lot of these constructs that have like kind of kept us in the, background or it's not going to like be undone in like a year or two. So we sort of constantly be like pushing and challenging people and talking about it. And, you know, I hope I can be like a little bit of like a trailblazer so that other artists, in the folk scene who are like that feel like they've been discriminated against or whatever, like they won't feel that way. Cause I'm like, okay, I'll try to put in as much work as I can. So then we can like pass the baton to like the next generation. And yeah, they'll be like, you dealt with what?
and I feel your work has been showing a little bit, for the album itself and for yourself, you're like opening up with for some really major folk acts.
Yeah, I'm opening for Tedeschi Trucks Band. They're a blues band. They're amazing. And I have a couple of shows with them next week at some like gigantic concert halls. And it's really cool because everyone's always very confused when they see me walk on stage because they're like, why is there one person in this band? Because
oh.
They're like a... like 10 to 12 people on stage.
Yeah, it's a truck band.
Yeah, like incredible band. And then they're having a solo artist open for them, which is so cool of them. And I don't know. I mean, in every way, I love to kind of like challenge people be like, oh yeah, like one person can put on a show. So yeah, it's always fun.
That's awesome. Looks like we're going overtime today.
Too much fun.
A lot of great serious topics to talk about, but let's get into the final song of the interview. What are you gonna end it off with?
This last song I'm gonna play is called American Dream.
Yay.
And I don't really feel like this song needs much of an intro because it's really about everything we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, so thank
I think
you.
This is the first song I ever heard from you.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. This was so fun to be in person. Oh my gosh.
I know. So thank you crazy. For come making the trek all the way here.
Oh yeah. No problem. I love this campus.
Hey.
I've been thinking about the news. Daddy leaves it on all day through. I've been thinking about the wars. And to be honest, I can't take it anymore. I hear you every day. The awful words you say. And hate can't be the face of the American dream. I've been thinking about my life and how one day I want to be a mother and a wife. I've been scared of that thought too. In a world of struggle, what are we gonna do? I hear you every day saying it's gonna be okay, but hate can't be the face of the American dream. And I know we've got a long way. But I've got to believe that change is a choice and it can start with me. I've been thinking about our mother and how they took her away from her people, put her in a boarding school. Away from a brother, sister, and culture, I can hear her every night saying we've got to make this right. 'Cause hate can't be the face of the American dream. And I got a long way to go, but I've got to believe that change is a choice and it can start with me. And change is a choice and it can start with me. And change is a choice and it can start with you.
Hello, it's Ray Saragossa, and here's a bonus song for you. This is Change Your Name.
on a boat from Japan, 5 stitches in my head, to America to meet my dad. Holding on to paper dolls, different food and different talk, I wonder if I'll like this new land. Holding on to what Mama said to me, they may change your name, they may change your name to something they can say, but you're gonna be okay. We arrive, one room flat, between Columbus and Amsterdam. I see other girls, but I don't look like them. Papa opens up a store, selling smokes and trinkets from back home, searching for some form of an American dream. Holding on to what Mama said to me, they may change your name, they may change your name to something they can say, but you're gonna be okay. They may call you names, we'll make it anyway. They can't change our ways, they may change your name, but you're the same to me, you're the same to me, you're the same to me. We'll call you Shirley, 'cause they may change your name, they may change your name to something they can say, but you're gonna be okay. They may call you names, we'll make it anyway. They can't change our ways, they may change your